Technology today.
Mankind.
The goal of the demonic is death. Plain and simple, it is death.
All of a sudden, he gets slapped in the face and he flies against the wall. I mean, handprints appear across his face.
It's really scary here. Everything about it is scary. The work in this field, I think, is very scary.
It was escalating to where objects started moving.
This is a war that we're fighting. What you're talking about does not think it even turns out. It is from another time and place.
Technology today. Class is now in session.
Featuring Kenneth Deal, Alan Glassell, and Deborah Johnson.
Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. Central, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern. Only on the I Am Haunted Radio Network.
I don't believe I'd be earning
Beacons of Tomorrow presents Deconstructing Fireflies, a post-apocalyptic short story by the Ghostman and Demon Hunter shows Nathan Schoonover and Christy Peterson. Bees are real, birds are not. Deer heads rot on rooftops under the blazing sun. Chickens explode, and one stricken little boy searches in unlikely places for the souls of the mechanical animals his father creates. This unsettling tale is now available in the speculative fiction anthology Beacons of Tomorrow, second collection. Buy your copy at TyrannosaurusPress.com, Amazon.com, Tower.com, and most online book retailers now. Beacons of Tomorrow, second collection. It's a vision of the future so grotesque, you won't be able to look away.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
Well, we just got done talking about the 7th annual Mothman Festival coming up this upcoming weekend, and you know what? Immediately on the heels of that, the very following weekend, the 7th annual Mid-South Paranormal Convention is coming for you on September 26th through 28th, 2008. Gather your family, your friends, and your equipment and run, don't walk, to Louisville, Kentucky for the one true paranormal convention in the Mid-South. There is no other convention like the Mid-South Paranormal Convention. I can attest to that. The website is www.louisvillegs.com. Of course, that has been permanently linked up on ghostlytalk.com for ages, because we have to welcome back the venerable Keith Age. Welcome back to Ghostly Talk.
Hey, thanks, Doug. How's it going, guys?
Well, I think we're doing slightly better than you are right now from what we've discussed.
Weather-wise.
Yeah, weather-wise. You know what? You play on-scene reporter for us for a second. What the heck is going on down there in Louisville, Keith?
Well, what's been going on since about 2 o'clock this morning, we've had gusts of wind from 25 mile an hour to 90 mile an hour. Right now, there's over half a million people without any power. We're getting the winds from Hurricane Ike, and no rain, no nothing. It's just been nothing but wind all day long. Matter of fact, I've had a tree fall on me while we were trying to get another tree down, and just also.
Hang on, Keith. You had a tree fall on you when you were trying to take another tree down?
Yeah. It was fun.
How big? He says it as if it happens every day.
How big was the tree?
It was about a foot and a half in diameter, you know. It was just one big limb of it that came off of it. So we were trying to shore up another tree, make sure it didn't fall over, and we didn't even see the other one. It just, a big gust of wind hit it and landed on top of me, and the guy that was on the ladder that I was holding, I pushed him off, and I just didn't get out of the way fast enough. So that's what took all the power out for the rest of the street.
All right, well, I have to ask this question, Keith. Are you okay?
Oh, I'm fine.
Oh, you sound all right, but I mean, I gotta ask. You know,
the tree.
All right.
The tree looks.
Yeah, you should see
worse.
The tree.
Yeah, you should see the tree.
Trees.
It's now a bunch of matchsticks.
It's grinded to a fine mist
powder.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's nothing to it.
Amazing. Yes. Best of luck with that.
Hopefully things straighten up here. I mean, hopefully things. You know, the weather system and all this crap. Hopefully it goes away for the conference. That's all I have to say.
I'm sure it will, but I know you guys are taking a beating right now with just the rain and everything.
Yeah, we had pouring rain. Everything's flooded, and I plan on playing in that a little bit later.
We've been sitting here with our fingers crossed the whole time we've been doing the show so far, hoping that we don't get blown away.
Yeah, if we go off the air, it'll be like, okay, that was an abbreviated show.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, now, is it as bad as the flooding as what you had when you came to the Mid-South, 3 years ago?
No, nothing. I've never been in floods quite like that. That was amazing.
That's why rain doesn't scare me anymore. You know, like, people are scared of ghosts. People are, you know, people that don't ghost hunt are scared of ghosts, of course, right? People who don't spend the night in an abandoned warehouse with 50 foot of water up all around them they, you know, they're not scared of water anymore either. So whenever this stuff right here, yeah, on the outside, it's not a big deal. It ain't bothering me. It's like just it's rain, big deal, right?
Right.
Hopefully, it doesn't get any worse than that. Yeah, and that the events of 2005, I believe.
Yeah.
When we were at the where was it? 2006.
It was the first year we went, so it was.
I don't remember what year it was. That was hell, but it was a wild night, and I know we told that story when we got back. I remember, and I was like, I had the time of my life. I don't know about you guys. You know, we were all smart and then tried driving through it. We just stayed there and hung out, and it was cool. So you know, hopefully we don't have anything like that happen again because it was pretty wild, Keith.
Oh yeah, well, you know, they keep throwing what they got at us. We keep still having the convention. You know?
Exactly.
Speaking of the convention. You know, this is the premier one. I mean, this is one of, you know, it's a staple in our traveling schedule. We always make sure, you know, we're talking about, you know, we've done this the last 2-3 years in a row, Keith, where we've been talking about it. We're talking about next year at the convention itself, going, okay, so what's going on next year? What, you know, what's the date? You know, what do you want to do? And that's what we do just to get things lined up for next year. It's obviously a staple in our touring schedule for the year now. And it's a staple for a lot of people who just don't want to come and attend because of just how great it is, the speakers, the vendors, the whole thing.
And it attracts a whole bunch of new folks every year as well. Because folks, you know, they look at the speaker schedule, the event schedule, they look at the location, which of course Louisville, Kentucky, what an ideal location. And so they look at all these different things, they factor it in, they go, I want to go to that one. And this one really does attract you know, a regular crowd as well as new crowd. Every single year it gets bigger and better, and just an amazing convention. That it starts off now, of course, with Friday nights.
Friday night
is
right.
You know, it used to be like, okay, there'll be like something for people to do who get there, you know, the night before the convention starts. Now it actually starts off Friday nights, and it's amazing. That's like when everybody gets together.
Well,
and
Keith,
like,
finally figured it out though, because you know,
last year he nailed it.
He nailed it and said, yeah. Look, we go to these things, we all get together, you know, whatever walk of life we're doing in the paranormal thing, right? And we all get together, and a lot of times we want to hang out and just catch up and chat and have a couple of pops, right? And
pops?
You nailed sodas.
Did you have some soda
pops?
Or pop last year at the Friday night thing?
I don't even know what I had. I had moonshine.
Yeah, I think you had moonshine.
But no, we got together though.
Welcome to Kentucky, boys.
Exactly.
No, this year, you're starting off in a similar fashion this year, but, you know, it has to be noted, we've been talking about it a lot. Dr. Don's American Spirit Summit, the film, is going to be premiered that night also.
We're real happy to premiere that, man. I mean, you know, when we premiered The Other Side last year, you know, everybody just walked away talking about it. So, you know, that's what we're looking is going to happen again this year. You know, we're really excited for it.
Well, I remember making this Dr. Don's American Spirit Summit, and people are not only going to be—they're going to be hobbling away talking about it. Because they're going to be crouched down.
I think
in
Keith
laughing.
May poke his eyes out by the end of the movie.
Yeah. Oh my God!
Yeah, I kind of heard that everybody's fair game.
It has nothing to do with
but,
that.
Well, everybody is fair game.
Let's ram this point down right now, though. That you know, it's in good fun, and usually it's out of respect too for
yes,
a lot of the people.
Exactly.
And it's just
well, that, and plus, you know, the fact that you know. This is everything a lot of us just say, boy, I wish we'd talk about this out loud, you know?
Well, Keith, okay, the first time we had you on the show, I remember this vividly. I laughed so hard about it. And this was years ago. We didn't really know each other too well. It was the first time you were dropping on the show. And we were on break like we were here a few minutes ago. And I always let the guests listen to what's going on with the show so they hear what's happening. And we were playing one of my guides, like one of my goofy guides, right? And we started talking, you know, during the break, and you're like, man, that, I know exactly everything you mentioned there, Scott. It's exactly what I'm, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about. You nailed it. So, you know, the same thing goes for these films. Now it's just an audio-video representation as opposed to just audio that I did back in the day. And, yeah, it make people think a little bit, too, about what's going on and what they're doing. And, you know, hopefully it helps, you know. And if not, people just get a kick out and enjoy it.
Right. I think that's going to be
the whole thing. It's all done in fun and in love. So, you know, that's where you got to look at it.
Yeah.
And if you don't look at it, you don't have a sense of humor, get the hell out of here.
Exactly.
I agree.
It's literally a comedy for a reason, because mm-hmm. it's supposed to make you laugh
right.
and have fun. And it's really awesome. And I think people are going to be holding their sides out of the pain of laughing so much. If laughter is good medicine, lots of people are going to have good medicine.
Yes, and I have handlers this year. This has been being discussed the last few weeks on the show here, and I actually have handlers this year to keep me from being stupid again. Even though it was fun, we had a good time last year, I was completely useless for the rest of the weekend, and I don't want to do that again this year. So I'm asking you also, Keith, Scott, how many is that? Okay, slow down, dude.
I'm asking you to not edit me at all.
Yay.
Keith, what else we got going on? There's a lot of stuff going on here. Is there anything new that's going to be happening this year with the Mid-South Paranormal Convention?
Yeah, there's going to be a couple things. One of them has happened that I didn't even know was going to happen, so I happened to be looking at the website the other night and went, where the hell did it come? And then there's going to be a Keith H. lookalike contest that
Yay.
My group is putting on.
Oh, I can't wait. Can I be a judge?
I don't know. You got to talk to Bobby T. about that.
Oh, Bobby T. will let me do it.
Yeah, Bobby. Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Bobby loves me.
So we're going to... Yep. There's a Keith H. lookalike contest. That's going to be going on Friday night or Saturday night? What'd you say?
That's Friday night. This is all... We'll start from Friday night and go forward.
Okay.
You got that going on. You also have from Ghostman Demon Hunter. They're having the Booth Brothers contest.
Booth Brothers what contest?
Sound alike.
Sound alike.
Oh, okay, all right.
I think I was there for the birth of that.
So was I.
That was a kernel of an idea actually about a year and a half ago, and I'm glad that is taking off.
So that's going to happen. You also got the world premiere of Dr. Don's Supernatural mm-hmm. Summit.
Yep.
Real happy to have. And you also got the American debut of the Orb Tones, More Than Just Dust.
Really? I'm looking forward to that.
And now I'm looking at the site right now, and this is the musical group, the Orb Tones. Are they like a death metal band or anything, Keith?
No, I think they're more old and rock and roll. A little bit of everything in between.
We're cool with rock and roll. Rock and roll is excellent. We can do that. Where do we go from there, Keith?
And then after that, you just have a party and just go and have fun with everybody, and that's the whole part of the reason why we have the party on Friday night.
And that was a really good idea to have the parties on Friday night, because that's when you do you meet after the season of conventions and stuff, and you get to talk and actually relax and let your hair down. And I really dig that format for Friday night.
Yeah, definitely.
Then it gets down to business the next day.
Yeah, Saturday morning.
That's right. Then the next morning we start having our speakers start talking. And, of course, you got Jason Gowan and Tim Yancey and Trish Yancey coming up from Florida from the Counters Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Got Bob Honeycutt, first time Bob's coming up.
Bob's a very cool guy. I got to meet him in Illinois at Troy's convention. He's a very cool guy. Looking forward to seeing him again.
Very much, yep. And then you got Keith and Sandra Johnson from Ghost Hunters coming in.
Oh, okay.
Excellent.
They got Donald LaCroix.
Yes.
And returning this year is Patrick Burns.
Yes,
I also have Robbie Thomas coming down from Canada.
Yeah, he's about an hour away from us, Keith.
Yeah, he's very close to where we are.
Yep. And you also have Rick Hayes will be returning.
I can't wait to talk to him again.
Him.
Oh,
we just talked to him.
We just had him on last week or
2 weeks
ago.
Two weeks ago. We talked to him.
Wow, what a guy. Life's gift.
Yep, and then we also have Archbishop James Long. Coming in.
He's coming on after you.
We're going to be talking with him in just half an hour, yeah.
See, this is a logistics.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then we've got Dave Schrader will be returning from Darkness Radio.
Excellent.
Also have Bill Bean and Dusty Smith. They both have their stories on A Haunting on Discovery Channel.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. And hopefully we'll have very little equipment failure, because Bill Bean tends to do that. Something about him, and he's tough to get an interview.
We got lucky with him.
We were very lucky with him. But he had destroyed pretty much Encounters.
Yeah,
before that.
Shut down Tim.
They had like a shadow figure walked by in the break room mm-hmm. while they were doing the show. So Bill Bean, you got to watch out for him. But I'm looking forward to meeting him.
Who else we got, Keith?
Yeah, so Bill Chappell will be coming from Digital Dowsing. and talking about a lot of his new equipment and stuff, plus some of the stuff that we used and had him build for us for the next show, The Possessed, which will be out in October.
Mm-hmm.
And Dill's just a very interesting guy. I love Dill to death. And then we also have, and this is the one I'm really excited about, we have the world's only living Houdini coming, Aaron Houdini.
Wow.
Yes.
He'll be coming and talking about his famous ancestor, and he's coming out of Vegas. Him and Lance Burton have a show there. So who knows what he's going to be doing.
Yeah, and when you mentioned, we talked about this a couple months ago, Keith. You mentioned, like, what do you think about that? And I'm like, wow. Like, I mean, it's going to be really, it's going to be amazing to meet, you know, a Houdini. Like a real,
exactly.
A real Houdini. You know, like, this guy has Houdini blood in him. That just blows me away. I didn't even know that there was any Houdinis that were still around.
I didn't either, but he found one.
Yeah.
Says, all right, you're coming to the convention. I think that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, he's actually an ancestor. He's the last one I see out doing the magic and stuff. And, of course, and then also we have the Booth Brothers coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They are definitely going to be here. And then Saturday night during their presentation, which I'll be doing with them, we're going to show a little sneak peek for The Possessed.
Oh, cool.
Ooh, how exciting.
Yeah. And then after all that's done, that'll wrap up about 7 o'clock Saturday night, plus the vendor room will be open till 7, too.
Mm-hmm.
You guys will be there.
Yep.
Yes,
you know,
we
will. Always... You know, you guys have been here whether I've had a convention or not, you know.
Yes.
You know, you come stay with us, you know. So, you know, you guys are always more than welcome. And then, which this, I'm going to tell you right now, the overnight excursion is already sold out.
Oh, boy.
I believe that. It's the Steamboat Museum or something, isn't it?
Yeah, the Howard Steamboat Museum.
Right.
Yeah.
Our Steamboat Museum has always been one of the places that everybody and their brothers tried to get into, but they never would do it. And they're letting us do it for the convention.
Wow.
So
that is
sold
amazing.
Out real quick.
Fantastic.
And,
well, I hope people get lots of good stuff out of that and talk about it the next day, because I want to hear all about
I'm
that.
Sure we'll have our own overnight event anyway.
Hey, Keith, I don't know what she's talking about.
I don't know what's going on here.
What
man.
Is she talking about? I don't know.
I don't know. No, she called me and said, you know, hey, do I have to have a lot of single-dollar bills? And we told her, yes.
And I know they're all going to you, but that's okay.
We get up bright and early. Well, we do that. God knows how late we're going to be up Saturday night and what hijinks is going to happen. Sunday is another day of speakers. Correct, Keith?
Correct. And, you know, again, you know, I know that Dave Sherry is going to be ending it, so we'll end by 3 o'clock. That way people will start getting ready and head back wherever they're going home to.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And, you know, Dave, if you haven't got to listen to Dave, I mean, everybody thinks that Dave is just a radio personality, but if you listen to him and listen to his presentation, it's very good.
Exactly.
Very cool. Good.
Looking forward to hearing that. And then we actually wind up the day with you, though, at 3 p.m.
Yep. That's it. And then, and something a lot of people don't know is that, yes, the Booth Brothers, they're going to be there. They're also going to be filming.
Are they?
And so you don't know what you might end up on.
Oh. Well, and they don't, it isn't, they're just working on a new project. Am I correct?
Well, it's, you know, some of the people that are coming in are going to be speaking on several of the other films that we're working on and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be able to take the time to be able to sit down and talk to them. But, you know, this is bigger and better than anything we've ever done. You know, definitely got more guests coming in. And we have the entire second floor of the Executive Inn West. So
I was going to say that...
From the East End down out back out to the South End, which is where I love to have it.
But, and it's, you know, this is a different location this year, which, you know, we're really excited to check that out. The one thing that bummed me out, though, is that I actually planned the trip. We were going to come down, like, a few days early, because, like, Six Flags is, like, literally, like, across the street from there. So we were going to spend
a
few days.
Yeah, you can open the door and look at it, yeah.
Yeah, we were going to go there and ride roller coasters before the conference.
And then we find out it's closed by then.
I was so bummed out about that. We're still coming down early because, like you mentioned before, Keith, the Louisville Ghost Hunter Society has always been for some reason, you guys have always been so nice to us and always taken such good care of us when we come down there. We're going to probably come down there. I think Italian and Al are going to put us up the first night.
Well, that'll work.
And they're gonna hook us up. And you guys, yeah.
They love us, and I don't know why.
I don't know.
I don't know why Keith.
Maybe they haven't
heard
our reputation. I don't know. But,
they've been there for part of it.
Well,
that's
so. True. They helped make some of it.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Well, we're looking forward to this, Keith. This is the time. I mean, we're in the thick of it now. I mean, we go to, you know, the Mid-South is at the end of September, and then here comes October. We get killed in October.
Yeah, usually we have this right in the middle of the month, but we had the Ryder Cup coming in when we normally have it, and there were no hotels available or nothing, so we moved the last week for the first time. So we're real happy to do it, though.
And it works out perfect. I mean, it scheduling wise, uh-huh. I think it's perfect. It's still before October, which is crunch time for a lot of us.
Yep.
And it's a great way to you know, end the summer season and begin the month of October, which is, you know, paranormal wise.
Yeah, because
the very
next weekend we're going to Haunted Hickory.
Yep,
exactly.
You guys are gonna be going down there. We talked about going there, but
I wanted to go. It's just
we really wanted to go to that, but you know, we were gonna
three weekends in a row would have been.
This has been the hardest year yet. I mean, you know, not hard as in, you know, God, I can't stand doing this, but we've really redlined it this year. We really pushed hard, and we talked it over a bunch of times and said, you know what, we just need to take some time and just get back to what we, you know,
so
take care of our personal.
We're going to take that particular weekend off and actually do the show.
Yeah,
we're going to do Ghostly Talk that weekend that you guys are in Haunted Hickory, and then we're going to hit it up with a couple more. We've got a Michigan convention next month, and we've got. It's something else.
Troy Taylor.
Oh my gosh, Spookapalooza. Oh,
Spookapalooza. Okay.
There you go. Are you going to be at that, Keith?
No, I've got way too much going on. I was already booked somewhere else.
Oh man,
bummer.
Because I'm really bummed out too. This is the first year that Troy's not going to be able to make it this year because of the Ryder Cup. We had to move it, and he was already booked somewhere else.
Oh man, what a bummer.
Yeah, this year.
Now I'm disappointed, Keith.
It's been one of them juggling years.
I'm sorry.
Spookapalooza is actually on my birthday, so
we should have a Troy Taylor.
You should have to be there.
We should have a Troy Taylor look. What do you think about that?
A Troy Taylor look-alike contest. Someone can bring in a beaker Muppet.
Oh, come on.
Oh my God.
You just said that on the air?
Did I say that on the air?
Oh, my God. Troy's going to hurt us. He's Irish, right? You are aware that Troy is Irish.
I know.
He's tougher than a coffin nail as a result of that.
I know.
Keith, hang on. I use the name Taylor.
Hang on the line for one second, okay, Keith? We're going to go to break here. We've got to get to break. Hang tight, though. Don't leave us just yet. Wow.
All right,
yeah, that's coming up weekend after next in Louisville, Kentucky, you guys. And don't forget, we give away the guest
passes.
Yeah,
you know what? We got a long break. Let me look at the list here. We actually got a long break coming up here. You know, and while, you know, Keith's on the line here, I think this is a really good time to do this.
If anyone's listening, I know people are listening, but if anyone can make it to Louisville, Kentucky, you just heard the lineup.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an amazing, amazing convention.
Yeah.
And if you want to know more about it, go to LouisvilleGHS.com. If you can go to it, it's not this upcoming weekend, but the following weekend.
Yep, yep.
If you want to go to it and you want passes to it, we've got passes.
Yeah, we got passes. And like we've been doing here all along, first caller. We're going to go to break here right now. We're going to be watching the phone line, or our team's going to be watching the phone lines. Our elite crack team back here is going to be watching the phone lines. And if somebody raises their hand, Bonnie, this is your gig here. Go for it. What do we have to do, Bonnie?
Here's what you have to do. You have to dial 605-475-8590. When asked for the conference code, enter 555-1081, followed by the pound sign, then press 1-1 to raise your hand.
Excellent. We're going to go to break right now. We're ready.
Right,
to go to
and
break.
Of course, those instructions are at GhostlyTalk.
They're on the website, left side of the website.
So we'll give you some passes. Just call in, raise your hand with 1-1, and we'll talk to you.
Yeah, 1-1.
And don't forget the website, www.louisvillegHS.com. And I want to see everybody there in 2 weekends from now.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to go to break here. We're watching the phone lines. Hang tight. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doc.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be back after this.
Ghostly Talk!
Station 3.0.
It's coming.
The 7th Annual Mid-South Paranormal Convention will be taking over Louisville, Kentucky, September 26th through 28th. The Louisville Ghost Hunter Society has went all out this year to bring some of the most amazing speakers, vendors, and activities together under one roof at the Executive Inn in the heart of Louisville. For ticket prices, hotel accommodations, and any other info on the 7th Annual Mid-South Paranormal Convention, visit LouisvilleGHS.com.
Welcome to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio. Paranormal News is produced by Genesis Creations Entertainment. I'm your host, Bonnie Vance. Paranormal News is sponsored by the new ebook, Is My House Haunted? A Practical Guide. Have you ever asked yourself the question, is my house haunted? Looking for a do-it-yourself way to find the answers? This ebook walks you through all the basics. There are also forms that you can fill out to log the activity and your experiences. For more information, please go to www.sdparanormal.com and look for Is My House Haunted? A Practical Guide. Our first story comes from the press in the UK. Ghostly mystery still surrounds the phantom anomalies captured on CCTV at a York pub after a surveillance expert admitted he could not explain them. Here's a clip.
With a rich history as a coaching inn and its military connections with the Crimean era, it's not surprising that there are ghostly goings-on at the Light Horseman pub in Fulford Road. What is unusual, though, is the fact that it's all been captured on CCTV. This camera produced this image. You can see something moving across the screen. Is it a spirit? I don't mean vodka. Or is it a spider? That's the question. Janine Robinson and her husband Steve are tenants in the pub, and they say they're convinced that this footage shows a ghost making regular trips through the back hallway between the main bar and the pool room.
Have you got any idea who these guys might be?
I haven't got a clue. I really haven't got a clue. We'd like to see some historian about what was here before. We know it's something to do with the officer's mess during the Crimean War, or the second war, I don't know. So, as I said, what they did, the first one seemed to go straight up the stairs and disappears up the stairs. And then the next one seemed to go into the pool room as though looking for somebody in the pool room. Doesn't see anybody and then just follows straight up the stairs.
So they obviously know where they are then, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, knows what doors what. Maybe pool fans, I don't know.
How often are you seeing this on the CCTV?
Periodically, it's not all the time. It's not all the time, it's just periodically.
The Robinsons took over the premises 4.5 years ago. Janine said that she was told that it was converted into an officer's mess for the nearby Infill Barracks back in the 19th century. Now they're appealing for information to help them trace the history and perhaps find out what these strange images actually are.
I had a look on the internet to try and find people that could advise us, but I've not been able, well, there's a couple of websites that I sent an email to, I've had no response, and I would just like somebody that would be able to come in and say to us what it is, or what they are.
Are you scared?
No.
No.
We've been here 4 years, and as I said, we've only just recently, over the last few months, installed these cameras. So as far as we know, they could have been here from day one, and we've never felt anything threatened or anything like that.
We've got a dog as well, and she runs the place. People have said, oh, the ghost, and the dog would react to it. No, nothing at all. She's fine.
So whatever it is, it's friendly.
According to Science Daily, the University of Southampton is launching the world's largest ever study of near-death experiences. The AWARE, or Awareness During Resuscitation Study, is to be launched by the Human Consciousness Project, the University of Southampton, an international collaboration of scientists and physicians who have joined forces to study the human brain, consciousness, and clinical death. The study is led by Dr. Sam Parnia, an expert in the field of consciousness during clinical death. Following a successful 18-month pilot phase at selected hospitals in the UK, the study is now being expanded to include other centers within the UK, mainland Europe, and North America. Contrary to popular perception, Dr. Parnia explains, death is not a specific moment. It is a process that begins when the heart stops beating, the lungs stop working, and the brain ceases functioning. A medical condition termed cardiac arrest, which from a biological viewpoint is synonymous with clinical death. During a cardiac arrest, all three criteria of death are present. There then follows a period of time which may last from a few seconds to an hour or more, in which emergency medical efforts may succeed in restarting the heart and reversing the dying process. What people experience during this period of cardiac arrest provides a unique window of understanding into what we are likely to experience during the dying process. A number of recent scientific studies carried out by the independent researchers have demonstrated that 10 to 20% of people who go through cardiac arrest and clinical death report lucid, well-structured thought processes, reasoning, memories, and sometimes detailed recall of events during their encounter with death. For more information on these stories, please go to www.sdparanormal.com and the Paranormal News feed page. Don't forget, sign up for a free subscription to Paranormal News. Thanks for joining us today on Paranormal News. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on Paranormal News, please send us an email at parax.news@aol.com. You can listen to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio at www.ghostlytalk.com. Please check out their other fine shows. Or you can join us at paranormalnews.mypodcast.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Bonnie Vance.
Invoking the spirits to help you, but the forces they represent are so sinister and powerful, you shall be a toy in their hands.
We got some winners for the tickets for the Mid-South Paranormal Convention. How cool is that, Doug? Oh, awesome. What are you doing right now? I can't believe this guy.
I'm texting.
He's texting on the show.
Hey, I turned off my ringer, so...
Oh, what's that supposed to mean?
I turned off my ringer, at least.
Oh!
Good enough.
Okay, so I've been docked pay already for having my ringer go off during the show. I know that. Or am I reading into your statement? I'm reading.
No, you're reading it. I'm fine.
We have a winner for two brand spanking new Mid-South Paranormal tickets to the Mid-South Paranormal Convention.
Which is excellent.
Which is going to be 2 weekends from now, which is going to be the weekend of September 27th and 28th. Adam, are you on the line, sir?
I'm here.
Hi, Adam. Hi. You're from where again, Adam?
From Nashville. Don't we know an Adam from Nashville?
I don't know. Do we?
In person.
Yes, we know an Adam from Nashville.
We do?
The very first time we went to Mid-South,
yeah.
We went to some kind of, was that the buffet place or something? I don't know, we went to some place
okay.
with Adam and his
called D.C.
Where was it?
What was that?
What was it called?
D.C.
Hmm.
I'm losing my...
I don't know, but it was weird. Anyway, so we... But, and we oh my gosh, we talked to them forever.
Well, yeah, I was saying on the break, actually, I was just through Nashville, like, last weekend, actually, at the Monster Truck Show at the fairgrounds there, Sunday. So it was actually Saturday.
Saturday.
Oh, it was awesome. Well, Adam, we got two tickets for you, okay? The way we do this is we're going to call you after the show. The number, can we call you the number that's on the ID here?
Yeah.
Okay. We're gonna call you.
Yeah, that's fine.
We're gonna call you at that number after the show and get all your information.
Put the phone down
for God's sake.
If you pick it up again, I'm done with you.
I'm checking my schedule.
Oh, you're checking your schedule.
Yes.
Give it to me.
No.
Right now.
No.
Hang on for 1 second, Adam. We're having an on-air fight.
No
problem.
Give me
it.
It's off. I don't trust you. The screen just came on.
It's off.
Thank you.
You guys are going to go in the corner here in a second.
Amen.
Adam,
it's getting grounded.
We're going to call you after the show and get all the information we need.
Okay.
And we'll send it over. Yeah, we'll take care of you. Okay. So yeah, we'll call you about 9 o'clock. All right.
Okay. Cool. Thanks
a lot, Adam. Take care of yourself, man.
Too. Bye.
Excellent. All right. So we're going to see Adam again this year, and
I think I remember now. That's all right. It don't matter. We'll handle it. Later.
I'm pretty excited. I'm really really glad because. Hopefully that'll help him be able to go to the convention.
Yeah, yeah.
And
well, speaking of conventions, one of the speakers at the convention.
Well, that's true. That's true. Is going to be Archbishop James Long, and he's the founder and president of the Paranormal Clergy Institute. He is the presiding archbishop for the United States Old Catholic Church. Bishop James is Old Catholic and not Roman Catholic.
We're going to have to find out the difference with that, I think.
The Archbishop attended the Roman Catholic Seminary and began to study demonology on an informational basis while attending the seminary. Archbishop has decided to join the Old Catholic Church because he felt that he could be more effective with helping those who needed assistance from demonic attacks. He was ordained a deacon, priest, and consecrated a bishop within the Old Catholic Church. The website is www.paranormalclergy.com. All run together, no spaces or hyphens or anything. Paranormalclergy.com. Of course, that will be permanently put up at www.ghostlytalk.com in our previous guest section.
Already there.
Oh, already. See, it's even there. And I have to, oh, wow. This is an honor to welcome Archbishop James Long to Ghostly Talk. Welcome.
Well, hello. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate that.
And thanks for being so patient with us while we took care of our contest thing.
Not a problem at all.
I hate throwing a monkey wrench into anything with the show, but sometimes it just has to be done. And thanks for working with us on that.
Sure.
First question, we're not really a question-based show, but I really want, because I'm completely ignorant on this, I'll admit that freely. One of the things that was mentioned is that you're an old Catholic, not a Roman Catholic. And I'm just wondering if you could tell us what the difference is between the two.
Well, the Roman Catholic Church actually split from the old Catholic Church split from the Roman Catholic Church in the 1890s when the Pope declared himself infallible, without error on church doctrine, and so there was a split within the church. And so the old Catholic Church is often referred to as the independent Catholic Church, American Catholic Church, old Catholic Church. I mean, there's a lot of terms for the old Catholic Church.
Okay.
But the old Catholic Church, it's a schismatic group that branched off from the Roman Catholic Church on papal infallibility.
All right. That makes sense. And the main reason, because the Pope declared himself infallible, and that's why the main breakoff occurred then.
It really is one of the major reasons. Now, of course, with the old Catholic Church, our theology is a bit different in that we're very inclusive. We reject any doctrine that's exclusive. So the United States Old Catholic Church is our doctrine. It's very, very inclusive. So, you know, we do ordain women. Our priests are allowed to marry. We do not reject anyone or deny anyone based on race, gender, sexual orientation, marital status, etc.
Okay.
So we're a group that truly believes that if you come to the altar, you should be served.
Excellent. And that, I mean, wow.
Well, that's a lot going on there. Amazing, because yeah. I thought that. I don't want to get into a religious discussion about religion. I want to talk about demons, right?
Well, no, that's cool though. But it's an interesting. I thought.
Well, here's the thing. We're learning, and that I guess is good.
Yeah.
I always thought that it was more like those New Life or what those happy touchy feely churches. Were the
we don't do the happy go stuff. Well, we celebrate all seven sacraments. Our liturgy is quite similar to the Roman Catholics. Matter of fact, we use the Novus Ordo. So our liturgy, you go to our liturgy, you're not going to see much of a difference.
I'm impressed. Okay.
Now you got. Well, go ahead.
Absolutely fascinating. And then, but you did start studying Roman Catholic with in that seminary school, right? And then
I did.
And somehow you started investigating demons at that point. Was there a reason? I mean,
I want to know this.
Like, because demons are scary, right? I mean, they're supposed to be. They got fangs and stuff. And
oh, come on.
Well, I just, this is Hollywood. I know. But
carry briefcases.
Actually, I think they've run this country.
Oh, well, that's
a whole different discussion.
Yeah, there is that thing where they, you know.
But it is a scary thing. I agree, Doug. When we've said this before on the air, James.
So why anybody would want to study them, I just don't know. But it just seems like. So I want to understand what's attractive about demons.
Well, let me just say, actually, the seminary wasn't when I first began studying. I was lucky enough to where I was able to grab any and all information, the resources that they had, because the Roman Catholic Seminary does not, or at least they did not, and when I was studying for it, had formal training such as classroom settings. But they had, the resources were just amazing. And I was able to grab all the resources on a theological level, graduate level, that I possibly could. I'd actually been studying demonology since I was 9.
Oh, wow.
I had a calling. My calling for the priesthood actually started when I was 5 years old. And my mom asked me what I wanted to do when I grew up, and I pointed at the priest, and I said, I want to do what he does.
Mm-hmm.
But, so that calling, that burning desire to be a priest has always been there for me, always. But when I was around 8 and 9 years old, you know, I had a recurring dream that stressed me out a lot of times. But I wanted to learn also about the other side. I wanted to learn what is it about the opposite of good? What is the opposite of God? So actually at 9, I began studying, and thankfully in the seminary, it increased.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, so it just always was in you to do this. Is that a divine spark of some kind, or did you see a movie, or was it a personal experience, or was it just a, like you said, a calling where it just sort of came from without, and that's what you were meant to do?
No, I think it's absolutely a calling. It's not a movie. We weren't actually allowed to watch those type of movies, scary movies, when I was a kid. So,
mm-hmm.
For me, it's always been a calling. I don't know why. I don't know where that desire came from, but it was there. Mm-hmm. I had written this actually in a book that I had written. And what had happened was I had a dream, and this recurring dream, it happens quite often, and it was pretty terrifying. And so because I had this dream at a very early age, I mean, I can remember having it at 6. It was pretty scary. And because of that, I took it upon myself to want to learn more about what was going on here.
Mm-hmm.
So even at a very early age, I've always enjoyed studying. I've always enjoyed reading, and that's what I've done all my life. And so one thing that I would love to talk about later on or whenever you guys want to is I am deeply, very, very concerned with the amount of people who are claiming to be exorcists. Who have no formal training at all.
Well, that's actually something that I wanted to talk to you about, and this is why I started with why are you doing this, or why did you start studying this, is because I've noticed, I mean, I've gone to events. I'm not, you know, they don't tuck me away and keep me hidden from the world.
Oh, they should.
And I go to events, I talk to people, and I love talking to people and finding out what they're doing. And I've noticed that ever since, like, TV shows and obviously the movies and things like that, but mostly TV shows, there seems to be a more or like this rush of everybody wanting to call themselves demonologists and wanting to perform exorcisms and things like that. And there are actually people, there's actually radio show hosts that I used to respect who pretty much claim everything's a demon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a little on the convenient side. You know, oh, how convenient. Everything's a demon. Okay. Can't it just be a bad day? Nope. It has to be a demon. And I just, you know, I think that people have problems without the help of demons. And there are people who do need help. But I noticed this, like, trend where a lot of it, is it sexy to be a demonologist or something? I don't understand. I know some demonologists, right? I know some who are qualified, who have studied for years and years and years, who, if you ask them, they will say, no, I don't call myself a demonologist. Usually they'll do that. Mm-hmm. They'll be like, I just happen to know a lot of stuff about them. That's it. And that's the people I respect, the people who I say, wow. There you go. You've studied it. You willingly take on cases and stuff that could put you into harm, and you know the people to go to when you need help, and that's amazing. And I cherish their friendship. But I also know a lot of people who just last week put demonologist on their business card or their MySpace website. Why?
Because it's the in thing.
James.
Yes. Well, you know, here's the problem. Honestly, this to me is one of my pet peeves. This is one of those things I get deathly serious about, because I'm telling you, and all your listeners, I have performed 23 exorcisms. These exorcisms that I have performed have been terrible. They have been terrifying, and I am incredibly concerned with the amount of people who are claiming to be demonologists and exorcists and putting people at harm's risk. You never do that. That to me is an abomination, because the person is if in fact I first of all let's make very something very clear, possession is rare, demonic mm-hmm. infestation is rare, but it does occur. The fact is the frauds, and I use these terms. I'm very serious about this. The frauds that are going out and claiming to be exorcists who have had no formal training, no formal seminary training whatsoever, who's never even had a mentor. I had a mentor who actually taught me exorcisms, who taught me demonology. These people who have nothing at all are putting these people, their clients, in major risk. And I am sick of the games.
Mm-hmm.
I am sick and tired of people using the ritual exorcism as a play toy. And so and when I give lectures, I talk about this, and I've come under fire, but I don't care, because you're talking about somebody who could die, who is truly possessed. And although rare, it is very, very serious. And I think this is blasphemy. You cannot be a satanic priest 1 month and be an exorcist the next month. That is an abomination. And I'm calling those people out.
Well, one thing I did have the pleasure of seeing you speak a couple of months ago, James, and I had to say, I'll be honest with you, it was the most interesting and gripping discussion of the whole day, and that was at the Michigan Paranormal Expo. We were all just sitting on the edge of our seats, and you showed us some exhibits. The slideshow and stuff mm-hmm. behind,
Sure.
And you showed us a few exhibits of some people that I don't remember if you actually were performing the exorcism on them. The one photo you showed us literally chilled me to the bone.
And she was a 17-year-old girl. That was a diabolical case, and mm-hmm. I was not the main exorcist. I was assistant to the exorcist, my mentor. And this girl was diabolically possessed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you have diabolical possession, this is really important. This is one. If you ever do interview somebody who claims to be an exorcist, just simply say this. What do you do prior to the ritual, or do you just go into the house and perform the ritual? First of all, if they go in and say, well, I go in immediately into the home and start performing the ritual, they're ass clowns.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And plain and simple. And guys, this is one of those things I am so adamant. It gets under my skin. And I tell you why. I had someone call me the other day on the phone, and this woman was terrified. She was, literally screeching, crying, because this fraud, who claims to be an exorcist, went to their home, no training at all, screwed around with things, and now her husband is under actual possession. So I immediately leave, go to the home, deal with that for 8 hours. Now, this was a very terrifying case, and this was a real true possession, because this, quite honestly, if I can say this jackass actually went there and played around and pretended to be something that he wasn't and put this woman's life in danger.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, that you never do that, ever. This is a ministry for me. This is something, this is a passion, as you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't charge for this ministry. This is something that I do. And when you mess around with this kind of stuff, this is not Hollywood. If you want to see a real diabolical exorcism, watch the exorcism of Emily Rose.
Mm-hmm.
That's a diabolical exorcism.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is the person, or the entity, demonic entities, will actually start trying to gouge the person's eyes out, will start trying to claw at themselves, will try to bite the tongue off or the lip off, or actually, and that's why if you have an exorcist on the show, ask them, so what preparations do you do for the person who's actually possessed?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say prayer and all this other stuff. Well, what about clipping their fingernails? Because if you don't clip their fingernails and the person is possessed, they're going to gouge their eyes out.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a person who doesn't know what they're talking about.
That's a common sense thing, too. I mean, that's just common sense as far as clipping fingernails is concerned.
Well, it would indicate that you've run into this before.
Well, yeah, it shows
you
experience.
Didn't just read a book and say, I'm an exorcist.
Yeah, exactly.
I do find it interesting that people want to, I don't understand the attraction toward the dark side, although I know that a lot of people are, right? I mean, they're interested in studying it like you are, but they're interested also in thwarting it,
I think it starts as an attraction mainly, James. I don't know, you chime in on this one, James, because, okay, let's be frank, I'm a metalhead, right?
Okay.
And there's a,
there's a lot of imagery
metal. I just don't listen to it. I mean, I've studied it. I have books on it. Like, you know, what is this fascination with the dark side and heavy music and stuff like that? And people go in for chapters on things, like people are fascinated with the imagery, the idea, the power that it seems to give you and all these things.
All right, let me stop right there.
No problem.
And let me just say this.
Okay.
I'm not fascinated with the imagery or
I'm not saying anything. This doesn't apply to you at all, James.
Oh, absolutely. But let me just say the one thing. It's very, very important to always remember that I am nothing when I perform these exorcisms. I'm an instrument.
Okay.
It is God who's performing the exorcism. I am an instrument in which God uses. So the problem is when exorcists start talking, or fraudulent exorcists start talking about how I went out and performed an exorcism and I got rid of 22 demons. No, you didn't. Shut up, sit down, be quiet. You didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
What you did is showed up, and you were an instrument in which God used to perform an exorcism.
Okay.
That's what you did. And so, I've had to learn that the hard way, because I've had to learn to humble myself, because, you know, especially with incubus and succubus cases, I dealt with a case in which just, there was a woman who, she's like your grandma. You'll love her to death. I mean, everybody loves her. And she was dealing actually with an incubus case. Terrible, terrible case. And I was getting frustrated. So frustrated, because I did everything I was supposed to do, everything I was trained to do, went there 3-4 times, and I was getting frustrated that she was still being attacked, but not as aggressive. But when I got involved, she was actually she was on life support. I mean, it was going to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
And so the church got involved, and I worked with her, and it was still attacking her, but to a point where she could live her life, and I was getting frustrated. And my mentor pulled me to the side, and he said, you need to check your ego. Because if you're doing nothing. The person will be delivered in God's time, not yours. And that's what I'm talking about, mentor. You people need mentors like that to be able to check them. Also, spiritual direction.
Mm-hmm.
Who are these guys' spiritual direction? Are they even involved in spiritual direction? If they're not, then how in the heck can you? It's a spiritual. You're going into a spiritual blessing. You're doing a spiritual solemn ritual here. Is the Eucharist the center of their lives? If not, why not? If you're a priest, how often do you celebrate Eucharist? If you don't celebrate it every day, then don't call yourself a priest.
I guess it needs to be said, pride does always come before the fall. And I guess that applies, right, James? I mean, like you just said, you had to be put in check because, you know, and that's part of learning.
Sure, absolutely.
It really is.
I think we've done this. Doug and I have done that to each other here.
Absolutely.
Hey, dude, shut your hole. You're stupid. Go away. Oh, okay. All right. No, I mean, we've had to sit. We've had talks, and that's what you do when you have a passion. You know, whether it be radio or whether it be working in demonology like you do. That's how you learn. I think it's a little bit more severe in your case, though. Radio.
We run into demons that are not quite that kind.
They're
you know, living ones with really bad attitudes.
There are some really great guys out there. Calder, I like Andrew very much.
Mm-hmm.
I like Adam Bly very much.
Oh yeah.
Zaphis is, some people say this and that about him. I think John Zaphis is a good guy.
Well, what he does is he'll do the case, and then when he needs the help, he goes gets it.
And that's what I respect him so much. And you know what? Here's what the key. And I don't want this to all be serious, because I like to joke around. But when it comes to certain things, I get very serious about. But one thing that I like about John, you're right. He will absolutely say, okay, here's the deal. I've studied demonology. I know demonology, but I'm not an exorcist. The problem is these demonologists who are going past that.
Right.
John is the type of person that says, okay, this is demonic, so let me get some help. That is a that's a humble guy. That is a person who understands the seriousness of the nature of the beast that you're dealing with. Adam Bly is the same thing, is the same way, and there are several others who I know who are doing wonderful work.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate their effort. I really do. And here's what the good news is. The good news is that I do a lot of lectures as well.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing is a lot of paranormal groups now are actually calling us and mm-hmm. saying, we're dealing with the situation, we don't know what it is, can you help us? That's wonderful. I respect that so much.
Well,
because when you pass that step, like for example, if you see something and you don't know how to deal with it, take the responsible step and get some help for people who can. And I think that's wonderful.
James, with the work we do, we've been doing it for years like that. And I'm glad to see there's an increase. Maybe you're hearing more from groups like that. But I thought that was a standard practice for anyone, whether it be within the demonology arena.
Yeah,
or whatever.
When we went into it at the very beginning, we decided, what happens if we want to see paranormal activity, but we want to deal with little ghosts and stuff and try and learn about ourselves through our hobby.
But
right?
There's some things we're not qualified to do.
But we knew that we could indeed, messing around with this stuff, run into something that we didn't know what to do. Fortunately, the one time that I ran into something that I didn't know what the heck was going on,
mm-hmm.
John Zaffis was there, and he was able to tell us what was going on and
mm-hmm.
tell us what to do. He essentially said, everybody put all your stuff away, don't even look at it. Tonight's not the night. You need time. We need to just sit back, relax, and have fun for the rest of the evening. This investigation is over. And that was fantastic. So I was really lucky the one time that something happened that I didn't know how to deal with. But
mm-hmm.
what if something happened? Well, I call people. I don't know it all yet.
No.
And
probably
not.
None of us ever will.
Ever,
yeah,
but,
yeah.
But at least I now know people to call.
What was it?
This might be a fascination. This actually might be the fascination. Before, a caller has been doing this for quite some time, but the word is now getting out that you don't have to be a Roman Catholic priest in order to perform an exorcism. And so what's happening is that because there are so few of us actual really trained exorcists, what's happening is that people, you're going to have frauds. You're going to have people say, oh, I'm going to be an exorcist today. For whatever mental reasons, they think that's going to get them attention and credibility, when in fact, it gives them nothing, nothing at all. And in many cases, actually, people become hurt because of that. And I think the fascination with the people who are playing games is because they want to pretend to be something that they're not.
And I agree with that. Let's take a quick break, okay, James?
I know we went past.
I know we're running a little late. It's okay. It's all right. Let's take a quick break, though. God, this is a fascinating.
I was just
subject.
Learning so much.
Yeah, exactly.
I went right past.
James, hang out for one second. We'll be right. We'll be right back with you. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott Allen.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back after this.
Miss a live broadcast? Feel free to download it direct from the on-demand archives at ghostlytalk.com.